Now is the time of our service where we observe the Lord's table together as a body. We use this time, as Scripture commands, as a sober reminder of and a proclamation of the body and the blood sacrificed by Jesus. In order to aid us in that remembrance, please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We'll be in John chapter 3 and verse 36. In John chapter 3, verse 36, John the Baptist, speaking to his followers, says, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but wrath remains on him." Wrath remains on him. I want to remind us of something that we see throughout Scripture, but we may be tempted to overlook or forget. God is angry. God is full of wrath. And this should put us in a state of awe, perhaps even fear. And this wrath he has, this anger, isn't like any anger we've ever seen on earth. God's wrath is not like our wrath. His anger is not like our anger. It's not limited in its understanding. It's not limited in its power. No, God's understanding, God's wrath coincides with his complete understanding and his limitless power. God's wrath hangs over the heads of mankind. Every single one of us has offended God with our sin. God is holy. God is perfect. And God is entirely unlike any of us. And God, in his perfection, demands perfection from us. How does mankind respond to God's demands for perfection? Certainly not with perfection. We respond to God's demands with hypocrisy and filth. God's wrath against that filth that we show to him is so strong that only a perfect sacrifice could cover his wrath. Only a perfect sacrifice could cover our offenses committed against him. This is why Jesus came to die. He didn't die merely as an example of humility. Jesus died as a substitute. He lived a perfect life. And on the cross, he certainly suffered brutal beatings and murder, but he suffered much more than that. The full wrath of God was removed from those who would believe on him and placed on Jesus at the cross. Jesus suffered. Jesus died. Jesus spilled his blood because of our offenses committed against God. Our sin left God with no choice. If we were to be made right before him, Jesus had to die. But Jesus didn't stay dead. He rose again 3 days later. This is what we celebrate in communion when we take the bread and when we take the juice. We celebrate the removal of God's wrath from us and placed on Jesus in his death. And he later resurrected. God's wrath, Christian, which hung over your head, has been removed. It's been removed by the death and resurrection of Jesus. What a relief that is for us. What a glorious truth that is for us. The destruction which you earned with your own actions has been taken away and poured out on Jesus at the cross. Again, this is what we celebrate in communion. What does this mean then if you haven't believed? What does this mean if you haven't submitted to Jesus? Well, you are where believers were. God's wrath remains upon you. You haven't believed in your one true hope, and you haven't been forgiven by the only one who can forgive you. And let me assure you, if you're here and you don't believe, you have no other hope. There is no hope outside of Jesus. There is no forgiveness outside of the cross. There's no amount of good works, good things, social change that you can affect that can affect your status before an infinitely holy God. If you're here and you haven't believed, you must believe on Jesus. Turn from your sin. Turn from that which leads to destruction and allow Jesus to reign in your life. You can have God's complete forgiveness, or you can have God's complete wrath. If you will not repent and turn from your sins and you're with us this morning and you don't believe, I implore you to consider your standing before a holy God. We're going to pass the bread and the juice in communion in a few moments. If you don't believe, please allow the elements to pass you by. Don't take the bread and the juice, as this is intended for believers to celebrate what Jesus has accomplished for us. But there's going to be several moments of silence, and I would implore you, I would encourage you to consider where you are placing your hope. Think about where you're finding your hope. Believers, what a great gift from a great God. You stand forgiven before God. You've escaped God's wrath through the death and through the resurrection of Jesus. This should change you. This must change you. These verses, or this verse, ties belief and obedience very closely together. Take this time to think about that. This time as we're passing around the bread and the juice, examine your life. Consider your walk before God. Confess any sin that you have and praise God for his great gift. Once you've done these things, please take the bread and the juice on your own as your hearts are prepared. Men, please serve us.